So in the last day we learned that Shankara spoke about Mangalacharanam. He mentioned in the first shloka. Then he spoke about the main purpose or the goal of the work. Anubandha Chatushtayam he explained. And the goal of this work is to gain moksha through explanation of aparoksha anubhavam, how a person can achieve aparoksha anubhavam. And then Shankara entered into Sadhana Chatushtayam. He also said that for Sadhana Chatushtayam, for a person to gain Sadhana Chatushtayam, he needs to do the threefold. He needs to follow the threefold path or threefold activities or sadhana of doing one's own activities, offering karma to Ishvara, then tapas, austerity in the form of japa, dhyanam, etc., and being devotional to Ishvara, that means surrendering to Ishvara. And then Shankara as well explained Vairagyam. So Vairagyam is split into two. The one is like Aparavairagyam and one is Paravairagyam. Aparavairagyam is dispassion towards the world because of knowing the fault of the world, knowing that the world is anityam and asukam, anityam, asukam, lokam. Because the world is anityam and asukam, therefore a person develops dispassion towards the world. That is aparavairagyam. And paravairagyam is once a person gets attached towards the eternal entity which can give him bliss, then he will renounce attachment towards all other things. It's like a person who wants to get into IIM. He wants to get into like any of the IIM, ABC institutes. He will develop dispassion for all other activities than preparing for the CAT. Similarly, a person who knows the reality, who knows that the reality, who not who knows the reality, but who knows that the reality will give him bliss. Reality of Brahman is blissful, will gain so much passion towards Brahman that he will renounce the passion towards the world. This is very well explained in the life of Meera. Meera was so devoted to Krishna that she even developed dispassion towards her husband, and finally she gave up her body as well, being devoted to Krishna. So after explaining Vairagyam, Shankara enters into the next sadhana chatushtayam, which is Vivekam. As we already discussed, Vivekam should ideally be coming before Vairagyam, because when Vivekam is knowing that the world is, Vivekam is discrimination between what is real and what is unreal. When we know what is real and what is unreal, we develop passion towards the real, that is Paravairagyam, and then we develop dispassion towards the unreal, which is Aparavairagyam. So from Vivekam, Vairagyam is cultivated or developed. But Shankara here has explained Vairagyam first and then he explains Vivekam. So the fifth shloka, Shankara explains Vivekam. Nityam Atma Swarupam Hi Drishyam Tad Viparitagatam. Sorry. Drishyam Tad Viparitagam. Evam yo nishchaya samyak viveko vastunasavai. So nityam atmaswarupam hi. He means only. Nityam atmaswarupam. Atmaswarupam. The nature of Atman or Atman alone is real, nityam. That alone is eternal. Drishyam tad viparitagam. Drishyam. Atma is the drik or the seer, the substratum of whatever is seen. And the seen or drishyam, the objects, the entire realm of object, which starts from, as we discussed in the Ekashloki, which starts from the external sense objects until the intellect or the antakaranam, all those are drishyam. So drishyam is tad viparitagam. Drishyam is of the nature, opposite nature of Atma. Atma is Nityam. Atma is eternal, therefore Drishyam is Anityam. So that means Atma is Nityam, everything else, that means Rishyam or the world, is Anityam. Evam yo nishchayah samyak. For a person, thus, yah nishchayah samyak. That clarity, that conviction, clear conviction. Nishchayam means like conviction. Samyak means clear conviction. Towards vastunah, towards like some entities that a person has. Viveko vastunah savai. Savai viveko vastunah. That alone is vivekam. That alone is termed as vivekam. That means vivekam is the clear conviction that Atma is real, Atma is eternal, and everything else is unreal. So in Viveka Chudamani, Shankara explains vivekam as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So that is what Shankara says there. So Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So Atma real, Atma Nityam, and Drishyam Anityam means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Mithya means an illusion. Mithya means Anityam, that which is temporary, that which is non-eternal, which is ultimately unreal, not really existent, but seems to exist. That is Anityam. So when Vivekam or discrimination is knowing that Brahman alone is real and everything else is Anityam. So this is very essential for a sadhaka to apprehend the truth in the scriptures, because unless he knows what is real and what is unreal, he will not know what to seek. So later Shankara would say the fourth sadhana chatushtayam as mumukshutvam, or desire for liberation. So desire for liberation cannot be there until a person knows what to really desire. That means until a person knows what is real and what is unreal, he'll not know that the real has to be sought and the unreal has to be neglected or unsought or rejected. So Vivekam is very essential. So first thing we have to understand is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Atma Nityam, Drishyam Anityam. So how do we explain Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya? So Brahma Satyam, Satyam, as per Krishna's logic in Gita 2nd chapter, Na Sato Vidyate Bhavah, Na Abhavo Vidyate Satah. Sat, or really existent entity, is that which never ceases to exist. That means Brahma Satyam. Satyam is that which is changeless, which is eternal, which is beyond time. Whereas Jagat is Mithya. Jagat is always changing. Anityam. That which is Anityam. Anityam or temporary changing is from the perspective of a person who sees it. But that which is changing is subject to birth and death. That which is subject to birth and death doesn't really exist. Because it's as good as telling that yesterday I saw a person, tomorrow I don't see a person. That means I can never prove that today I am seeing him. Because yesterday he wasn't there, tomorrow he is not going to be there. So today he just seems to exist. He doesn't really exist. That is what is called as Mithya or Anityam. Anityam is different from Asat. Asat means which is not at all existing. It's like the horns of a hare. Hare doesn't really have horns. Therefore, like a son of a barren mother, barren woman. Barren woman can never have a child. Those are Asat, the completely unreal. Unreal in the three times of past, present and future. Whereas Anityam or Mithya is that which is temporarily seen, but which is not really existing. So it is seemingly existent. So the Jagat is Anityam because we see it now. I see the world as existing, though the world doesn't exist. Why the world doesn't exist ultimately? Because the world is Anityam. That which is Anityam, that which is changing, only seems to exist now because it has a birth and death. If it has a birth and death, then the time between birth and death, it only seems to exist, it never really exists. Therefore, the world Brahman is real, the world is unreal. And that which is real is Brahman alone. And that Brahman is not many, but it is one alone. Because we don't need to accept multiple Brahman, because the Jiva in each one of us is one Brahman. And that Brahman alone existed before creation. There are so many logic to prove that Atma is one alone, or Brahman is one alone. Maybe sometime later, in a as a separate topic, we can discuss as to why Atma or Brahman is one alone. But Brahman, which initially scriptures say that Brahman alone existed, that means before creation, Brahman, one Brahman alone existed. That means that alone is eternal. Everything else is only created in Brahman. So Nama Rupam, everything is Nama Rupam, is Anityam. Brahman is real. Brahman is one alone. Everything apart from Brahman is real. So since Brahman is real and everything apart from Brahman is unreal, therefore we have to seek Brahman or the Nitya Atma. Everything else has to be renounced. Towards all other things, we have to have Vairagyam. That is why Shankara said, Eta eva kaka vishtayam Vairagyam taddi nirbalam. We have to develop Vairagyam towards everything apart from Brahman, everything other than Brahman or Atman, because that alone is real. So that is Vivekam. So Vivekam is knowing that Brahman alone is real and everything else is unreal. At any point of time, always a person has to remember this, that Brahman alone is real and the world is unreal. When a person can remember this, that Brahman is Satyam and the world is unreal, then he will not be affected by the activities of the world. Even as a person, after waking up, is not bothered about what happened in dream, similarly, it's as good as telling that I go to watch a movie, I see the movie, I see things happening, but still I am unaffected by the happenings in the movie. Though people die, people kill each other, yet I am happy. Why? Because I know that it's unreal. So when we know that the world is unreal, then we will not be affected by the activities of the world, by our surroundings, by our environment, but we will be strongly focused towards the reality of Brahman. That is what is called as Paravairagyam. When such earnest, such like Paravairagyam or real passion towards Brahman is there, then a person develops the fourth sadhana tadrishtayam called as Mumukshutvam, or burning desire for liberation. Because a person knows that the world is unreal, therefore he will not be bothered about the world, he will totally neglect the world, but he will only do like activities which are essential for his very living, and he will focus on Brahman, Brahman as the reality. So that's what is Vivekam. So Vivekam and Vairagyam Shankara has explained. And then next Shankara enters into the Shama Adi Shatka Sampatti. Shatka Sampatti means six qualities of the mind. Shama Adi, starting with calmness of the mind, etc. So the six qualities of the mind that Vedanta accepts is Shama, Dama, Upadati, Titiksha, Shraddha and Samadhanam. So first is Shama. So Shankara is explaining Shama and Dama in one shloka. The first line of the next shloka, sixth shloka, explains Shama, and the second line explains Dama. Sadaiva vasana tyagah kshamo yamiti shabditah nigraho bahya vrittinam dama ityabhidhiyate. So what is Shama? Sadaiva vasana tyagah. Sada eva, always, vasana tyagah, renouncing one's own vasana. That is Shama. Shamaha I am iti shabditah. That is termed as iti shabditah. Has termed thus as shamoyam. Shamaha I am. That is termed as shama. So shama is always renouncing the vasanas of the mind. The direct definition of shama is calmness of the mind. The mind being calm. So Chinmayananda in many of his places explains it as a, Shankara himself explains it as like an ocean without waves. Nistaranga jala rashi nishchalam. That is what Shankara uses beautiful metaphor that he uses in one of the shlokas of Viveka Chudamani. Nistaranga Jalarashi Nishchalam. The mind is Nishchalam like the Nistaranga Jalarashi. That the Jalarashi are the ocean. Nistarangam, without any tarangam, without any waves. So the mind should be calm. The calmness of the mind remaining as an ocean without waves. The waves in ocean, the ocean, if we consider ocean as the mind, then the waves denote turbulence, wave denote thought process. So like it's like a pond. When we have a pond and when we throw a stone into it, a ripple is caused. And multiple ripples become a vasana. Those are what are called as, that are related as waves. So shama is when the mind is without those turbulence. And the turbulence are caused due to vasana. The more and more a vasana a person develops and he has, the more and more his mind will be restless. The more and more his mind will not be calm. The more and more his mind will be indulging in thoughts of various kind. So that mind which is into thoughts, into lot of thoughts, will not be calm. Why calmness of the mind is essential? Until the mind is calm, we will not be able to focus on the Atma which is beyond the mind, which is the source of the mind. Only when the mind is calm, even as any worldly activity, if we take the case of any worldly activity, we will be able to do actions, we will be able to do activities only when the mind is calm. If the mind is not calm, then we will not be able to do any activity, we will not be able to focus on anything. So if that is the case with worldly activities, then it's the same with spirituality as well. It's the same with Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam, the path of Jnanam as well. So it is very essential that the mind is calm, the mind is without any turbulence, the mind is without any much of thoughts. So that's why Shankara says vasana. When vasanas are there, the mind is with, mind is turbulent, mind is with lot of distractions, mind is with thoughts which are which make a person indulge in sensual pleasure. So always renouncing vasana is shama. So with this, like, a person can judge his state, his level, by knowing that how many vasanas he has. The more and more vasanas a person has, the less shama he has. The less shama he has, the less he will be able to apprehend the reality that the Guru will teach him after gaining sadhana chatushtayam. So sadaiva vasana tyagaha is called shama. Shama is always renouncing vasanas. And what is dhamma? So shama is calmness of the mind. So that denotes inner calmness, internal calmness of the mind. That is an internal activity of the mind. External activity of the mind is the activity of the sense organs. So the external activity is the activity of the sense organs. The mind, if it has to experience sensual pleasure or sense objects, it has to use, it has to become active through the sense organs. So the mind can be considered to be internal, and the sense organs are an external manifestation of the mind. Vedanta Paribhasha of Dharmaraj Advirindra like uses the analogy of the mind. We can consider the mind as like the water in a tap, and it flows out. The mind flows out in the form of thought through we can say the various pipes that are put in our house. So through those various pipes, those pipes are sense organs through which the thoughts of the mind flow, and they experience sense objects, even as a water flowing through pipe enters into a particular field and takes the form of the field. So like shama is calmness of the mind or internal calmness, whereas dhamma is control of the external activity of the mind, which means control of the sense organs. So nigraho bahya vrittinam dhamma iti abhidhiyate. Dama iti abhidhiyate called iti dama iti as dama what nigraho bahya vrittinam nigraha nigraham means like removal or controlling. We can say nigraham is total removal or restraint. Bahya vrittinam of external activities, external thoughts of the mind. That means it is the activities of the sense organs. Sense organs are 10, as we know, the Panchajnanendriyas and the Panchakarmendriyas. So control of those 10 organs, the functions of the 10 organs, removal of the functions of the 10 organs is called as dhamma. So even as calmness of the mind is essential, external activities also has to be ceased. We can't say that I will watch TV till my mind is calm. That's impossible, because if we are watching TV, the mind is behind watching the TV, mind will be affected. So both are related. So we need the mind, internal mind, to be calm, as well as we need to get rid of external activities. How can we get rid of external activities? The more and more we know that Brahman is real and the external world is unreal, and we know that the external world can be apprehended by the mind and the sense organ, whereas Brahman cannot be apprehended by both. Brahman can be apprehended only by a person doing nididhyasanam into his own nature. Such a nididhyasanam means cessation of external activities of the mind. The more and more our mind and sense organs are active, the more and more we are passionate towards the world. That means we are passionate towards anityam, which will lead us to asukam or dukkam. Therefore, a person who has vivekam, he will be like developing dispassion towards the world and developing passion towards Brahman. Developing dispassion towards the world means cessation of the activities of the mind, cessation of sensual pleasure. Cessation of sensual pleasure has two parts. One is internal control of the mind, or calmness of the mind, or the control of the mind. And the second is control of the sense organs, control of the activities of the sense organs, which can be said to be control of the external mind. So that is what Shankara says as bahya vrittina nigraha, completely controlling the external, the functions of the sense organs is called as dhamma. That means internal control is called as shama, external control is called as dhamma. So Shankara's, like, the first two qualities of the mind, Shankara said as shama and dhamma, internal as well as external control of the mind. So for internal and external control of the mind to happen, the simplest way is to, like, distract the sense organs from going towards sense objects. Even as a pendulum, when we leave a pendulum, it comes to its natural state, middle state. Similarly, due to vasanas, due to desire, due to one's own innate tendencies, the very nature of sense organs as well as the mind is to go behind sense objects. So, like, though we may try to control the mind, like vasanatyagam, we will do vasanatyagam and we will do like bahya vrittinam nigraha. That means both are controlling. Though we may control, but still, again, due to more and more vasanas, we may not be able to control, and it will still go away. The mind will be going towards sense objects. Therefore, what is required is turning the sense organs from the external objects, sense objects or the world, and focusing it on Brahman. So that is what is the next next quality of the mind, which Shankara says as like uparati. So Shankara says in the next shloka, he says about Uparati and Titiksha in two lines. So Vishayebhya para vrittihi paramo paratirhisa sahanam sarva dukkhanam titiksha sa shubha mata. So Vishayebhya para vrittihi means like turning away, like pulling away the sense organs from the sense objects. So sense organs are the light that falls on sense objects, So pulling that light and diverting it into the Atman, using all our power to do that, that is what is Parama Uparati, that is the highest Uparati, that is highest withdrawal of sense organs. Parama Uparatir hi sa, that alone is Parama Uparati or the Supreme Uparati. So the word meaning of Uparati is withdrawal, withdrawal of sense organs. So Shama and Dhamma is control of external and internal mind. External mind is are the sense organs, whereas Uparati is turning away the mind, the sense organs, from their respective objects, the sense objects. So that is what is called as withdrawal of sense organs or Uparati. And like with this three, with Shama, Dhamma and Uparati, the mind doesn't go behind sense objects, and therefore it will be always trying to contemplate on Brahman, contemplate on the Satyam of Brahman, contemplate on the Nitya Atma. But still it may happen that though a person is trying to focus on Brahman, he is always concentrating on Brahman, yet he may face troubles. So Mahatmas tell that, okay, those are times of testing. So I am always focusing on Brahman. I am showing lot of interest in Vedantic study, but still something goes wrong and some obstacle comes up. So during those obstacles, during those struggle, during those sorrowful, painful times, a person shouldn't collapse. So he should be focused again. So that is what is the next quality of the mind, which is termed as titiksha or forbearance. So in the spiritual past, many times it may happen that we will come across a lot of trouble, a lot of sorrow, though we are always trying to focus. Though we have Shama, Dhamma, Uparati, though we have Vivekam and Vairagyam, yet some point of time sorrows come, our mind still becomes like, and then we shouldn't argue, we shouldn't think that, oh God, why have you given me this? I have shown all interest, I have shown devotion towards you, but still you are giving me that. Such an attitude shouldn't be there. So, sarva dukkanam sahanam. Sahanam, like forbearing, sarva dukkanam, of all sorrows, whatever a person might come, whatever sorrows a person might come, while in the spiritual path, that is titiksha, sta titiksha, that is called as titiksha or forbearance. Shubha mata, that is really good, that is really helpful for a person, that is really helpful for a person, because even when a person starts in the spiritual path, he gains little bit of vivekam, viragyam and shama dhamma uparati, but still he faces some trouble, some sorrows, still he is patient, he remembers the reality. Therefore because of this attitude of forbearance, the same sorrow becomes happiness. So he takes it in the right sense, with the right attitude. He says, oh Lord, instead of saying, oh Lord, why have you given me this, he would say, oh Lord, I am grateful to you that you have given me sorrow. It will be like Kunti Devi, who prayed to Krishna that give me more and more sorrow so that I will always remember you. So that attitude, like when sorrows come, we would say that, oh Ishwara, I am grateful that you have given me knowledge so that even during the time of sorrow, I am able to remember you. I offer even this sorrow to you. When such an attitude is maintained, then the same sorrow is converted to Shubha, is converted to Shubham, is converted to happiness. So even though, like, for a normal person might, under times of distress, under times of sorrow, he'll feel dejected, he'll feel sad, but the spiritual seeker will consider even that as a grace of Ishvara, grace of Brahman, grace of Guru. That is, having that is what is called as titiksha. With that, with titiksha, whenever titiksha is there, whatever happens, even if like the sky falls down, still the seeker will be focused on the path. He will not get away from the path just because he got sorrow. And just because he got sorrow, or he is worried, or he has anxiety, or any of the passions of the mind, still he'll be focused. Thereby, he'll have more and more shamadama upadati. He'll be more. He'll gain more and more vairagyam, apara vairagyam towards the world. He will gain more and more devotion towards Ishvara. Thereby, like that, will make him easily realize the reality. So, titiksha is the fourth quality of the mind, forbearance or sarva-dukkhanam sahanam. So, Shankara has explained four qualities of the mind till now in the sixth and the seventh shloka. First is shama, which is sadaiva vasana tyagaha. So, internal control of the mind, that means renouncing all vasana, renouncing all desire. Desire leads to vasana. So, renouncing all desire, renouncing all vasanas, renouncing all thoughts. And dhamma is bahyavrittinam nigraha, like control of the external activity of the mind through the sense organ. So, activities of the sense organ, restraining the activities of the sense organ. Uparati is vishayebhya paravrittihi, turning away the sense organs from their respective objects, making sure that the sense organs are not active in enjoying sensual pleasure. And titiksha is sahanam sarva dukkhanam, bearing or enduring like all the sorrows that a person might come across in the spiritual path. We will stop here today and continue the next day.